Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog Indiana.
Life finds a way.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one, because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, the podcast where we reminisce about our geeky childhoods with our un-geeky bonus episode.
That's right.
I'm Tim.
I'm Frank.
And today we are drinking bonus episode, apparently.
Bonus episode.
We are going to alliterate as much as possible in this episode starting now. Did donuts discourse during...
You already broke it. You're bad.
That's not true.
Yep.
Did donuts discourse during... That's four. I didn't say it had to make
Is
sense. I just said we were going
used
to...
Discourse right there? No, you didn't.
To have a discourse?
Anyway.
We're having one right now. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. We promised a bonus episode in our last episode, and here it is. All Christmas movies, all the time.
That's right.
For at least a half an hour. So, let's start this ball rolling. Last episode, we talked about Christmas specials, so we're going to leave those off the table, even though some of them could be considered, quote-unquote, movies.
In a way, yes.
In a way. Now, this bonus episode was supposed to be A Christmas Carol all the time, but Frank made me promise that we weren't going to talk to him for about 15 minutes. So
it's true, I did.
Yeah,
so we should balance it out.
We're gonna balance the force with your favorite Christmas movie. Go.
My favorite Christmas movie.
Christmas movie.
My favorite Christmas movie is, It's a Wonderful Life.
You know, I think I knew that about you. And because every time you say that, I do remember thinking unusual Christmas movie choice.
Really? You think so?
I think it's very sad.
Oh, sure. I mean, it's a happy ending, though.
You're right. It's
a very happy ending.
If I ever made it to the ending of the movie. No, I'm just kidding. I've seen it. No, I'm just kidding. I'm messing with you.
I don't know if
I'm totally messing with you. I definitely have seen it. Shifty eyes. Got to leave the podcast booth. Bye.
Yeah, yeah. Get out of the booth.
Nah, no, I'm kidding. No, it's sad.
Well, most of it isn't sad. It gets like
Christmas shoes, but a whole movie.
Except good. It's actually a very uplifting story, but you have to watch it to completion. But you know, the ultimate lesson of it is that, you know, no man is what does Clarence say at the end? No man is alone who has friends.
Oh, yeah.
No, islands were the last episode.
I know.
I mean, it's true. It's a very uplifting lesson, actually, at the end of the day. And it's Frank Capra and Jimmy Stewart working together, which is just great.
Mm-hmm.
Just great.
It's great.
From the people who brought you Mr. Smith Goes to Washington comes.
Yep. I know.
It's a Wonderful Life.
Bert and Ernie are in it.
That's where Bert and Ernie came from. Yes. The names.
I know. No, I actually do really like It's a Wonderful Life. My mom was just talking about this on Thanksgiving. Actually, it's funny because we were talking about why. Excuse me. I had a question because I never remember when the Ten Commandments are on. I know it's like one holiday,
Easter.
And I never remember if it's Easter or Christmas or Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, I always think it's Thanksgiving, even though it doesn't actually make any sense.
No.
But my mom then got into the, like, I remember one year when I put on It's a Wonderful Life and everyone was like, no, don't put it on. And I have no recollection of this whatsoever. So I believe her. I just don't ever remember thinking, no, I don't want to watch it because it's black and white or because it's old. Yeah. I really like Jimmy Stewart.
Oh, yeah.
He's mad in every movie.
At some point.
Yeah. At some point, Jimmy Stewart is mad at
Mary, don't you know me?
No, I'm going to stay right here, and I'm going to read these letters, and I'm going to do things, and all the time, and I have vertigo, you know, like, whatever, you know. Jimmy Stewart in a nutshell. I really like Jimmy Stewart. I do like that movie, though it's not my favorite.
Okay. What is your favorite?
You know, I don't know. Normally I say Love Actually is my favorite Christmas movie. Hands down, I can watch it at any time during the year.
Me too.
Without being made fun of because it's a Christmas movie and because it takes place at Christmas. You know, but if that's the criteria, I could also say that like Batman Returns is my favorite Christmas movie because it also takes place at Christmas. So I don't necessarily think that's the criteria that
Die
I'm
Hard is my favorite Christmas.
Oh, what a great Christmas movie. A great, yeah. That movie is all about the yippee-ki-yay. So,
yeah.
So I'm not, so I don't know. But I do love Love Actually. It does rank in my top five. And so I would just kind of assume that it propels itself into my favorite Christmas movie status.
Okay.
Even though I just made fun of you for picking a sad Christmas movie, technically Love Actually also has its extremely sad moments. But it's got – the movie starts right away with the 4 weeks till Christmas. Oh, my God. I'm so excited because it's so Christmas is coming. Yes, we're coming. Yes, here it is. Yes, Christmas. Yeah, you know. So it's right there.
Yeah.
There are movies that – I used to really, 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 really love Miracle on 34th Street.
Yes. This year was the first year that I did not watch that on Thanksgiving Day. And that was only because the power was out.
Oh, well, you know, priorities, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you didn't drive to a Starbucks and watch it there, you know.
I know, right?
I downloaded it on iTunes. Everything's okay. Yeah.
But no power. Yeah. I can't download it from iTunes.
Yeah. At Starbucks, you can. That's what I meant. Yeah. Clearly LTE, let's go.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Get on my level.
You're right.
I'm not a huge fan of the original Miracle on 34th Street, though. I know that you are.
Yeah,
but the first one I ever watched was the new one.
The one from the 90s?
Yeah, the one from the new one. The one that's like 20-something.
20 years old now. Yeah.
The new one. Yeah. I'm surprised they haven't rebooted that, too.
Well, that's the third one, you know. There was one in the 70s.
No one talks about that version.
Because it's terrible.
I've
seen it on TV. It was terrible.
Oh.
It was the 90s one is way better than
Richard Attenborough.
Richard Attenborough,
David Attenborough is somebody different.
But so good. I do prefer the original one,
first Bond. Your first Miracle on 34th Street.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Your first Santa, whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
Your first Kris Kringle, who's not Kris Kringle, except maybe he is, except maybe he's not, except maybe he killed somebody to get the house, except maybe he didn't.
Says that he is.
The dollar bill?
Do you not remember that part of the movie? I don't know if this is part of the original.
No, it's not.
Oh, the way that the closing argument that Brian, the lawyer, makes is the In God We Trust.
Yes.
And so if we can trust that. If you can trust that God is looking over this country, is all blah, 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 all of the stuff, even though you don't know that he exists, why can you not believe that this man is Santa Claus?
Yeah, in the original, it's that the post office was sending all letters that were addressed to Santa Claus. Instead of sending them to the dead letter office, they were sending them to Mr. Kringle at the courthouse. And like, hey, you know what we should do? We should – actually, the guy who plays
Jimmy Stewart? No,
no, the guy who plays Grandpa Joe in
Willy Wonka.
Yes, when he's a young man in the 40s in the original Miracle on 34th Street. He's like, oh, you know, what we should do. We should send them down to Mr. Kringle at the courthouse. Oh, that's a good idea. Hey, jingle bells.
That's awesome.
So they send all the letters there, and then his lawyer is like, you know what? If the post office, which is a government agency, says that he's Santa Claus, who is this court to say otherwise?
That's awesome.
Which I think is a better argument.
That's because I know why you think that's a better argument.
Because it's like if the court is government and the post office is government, how can the government contradict itself?
Yes, because a third party contractor makes money. Like,
I mean, third party contractor.
The U.S. government makes dollar bills. Therefore, the government also says that
But I
understand. I understand your point, but like technically you're one step further with that because they send it right to him. But
yeah,
one of the reasons that movie was popular is because in my household, it's because my sister growing up looked like that little girl.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
Right,
yeah.
Yeah. I know. And so, that was when it's like, oh, look, it's like she's there in the movie. Yeah. She's in the moving pictures. And so,
she's like one of the little people inside the television.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Great movie. Both of them are great movies. I've only seen the new one a couple of times, but older one I'm very familiar with.
That one is very, there are parts of that movie that, I dislike more now as an adult. Like they're like Brian, the lawyer, and the mom of the little girl get married at midnight mass in the in the new one, which part of me is like, oh, that's really like cute because I love the midnight mass and ringing in the Christmas and all this stuff and whatever else. But the other part of me is like, that would never happen.
They would
have to go through months of marriage prep and like all this stuff. And like, no one would ever allow that. And so the pragmatic part of me doesn't necessarily care.
Yeah. The older one, they actually, it ends and they're just like, they're like engaged, or you're presuming they're engaged, but then they're not married yet.
Oh yeah. This one, they like get married after midnight mass.
Mm-hmm.
And then they like, well, my mom's like, oh, look, here's my wedding ring, like sparkling off of the ornaments on the Christmas tree. And the little girl's like, oh my God, it's so amazing.
It's so pretty.
That's the part of the movie that I don't necessarily care for. But
what's a movie you do care for then, Tim?
But I do like that movie.
I know.
Excuse me, I almost burped into the microphone, but
beer.
I didn't.
Beer. It's beer o'clock.
It's beer o'clock.
It's beer 30.
It's beer o'clock. Do you know where your beer is? Nope, but I can always brew more. Anyway, that's an odd joke. I'm a big Home Alone fan.
Home Alone, one of my absolute favorites.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
So funny.
That's one of the Christmas movies that I cannot watch alone. I need to watch it with.
You need to hear people laughing.
I need
and
to
cringing.
Yeah.
Like at the same. Yeah. With. Yeah. In tandem.
Yep.
That movie always makes me want pizza and soda for the beginning when they spilled the soda on the pizza. For some reason, I'm always like, I need that.
Look what you did.
You little jerk. Is it jerk? That's right.
And his name is Uncle Frank.
And with the hair.
And without the hair.
Yeah. Hey.
That's my future. I mean, my present.
Presents like Christmas. Anyway,
hey.
Christmas present. Nope, we're not there yet. We still have time. I'm not there with the Christmas Carol yet. It's so close. So many minutes off. I love it. Do you like one or two better?
I like one better, but I love two as well.
I think I like one better also.
Yeah.
But two has this moment in which they discover that the credit card is fake.
Yes.
And they run into the room, and it's the same gag with the old movie.
Yes.
But it's like, you've been cheating on everybody.
Yeah.
And little Mo with the gimpy leg. You know, what a bad Cliff. It's a lie. Like, I love that. Get on your knees and tell me you love me. I love you. But when they all do it again, it's
really great.
That is a year-round joke in my family. It transcends Christmas.
Sure.
I love it. Joe Pesci, genius.
Oh.
I miss him in film.
Daniel Stern.
Another genius.
Yeah.
You don't really see Daniel Stern in things anymore either.
No, sadly. I haven't seen him in anything since The Wonder Years.
Oh, yeah.
But you didn't see him and you heard him in it.
Right, but still.
Yeah.
No, you don't. But anyway, it's a shame. I do love those films. If those movies didn't take place at Christmas, it just wouldn't hold the same effect.
True.
At all.
True.
At all.
Yeah.
But every time I even hear like the name Kevin, regardless of who it is, I was like, Kevin.
Oh wow.
Like every time.
Wow.
It's just like ingrained in me. I love it very much.
That's probably one of my favorite appearances of John Candy in any movie.
Oh yeah, at the beginning.
Oh my God.
It's great. It's great.
Oh. The Santa Claus, Tim Allen.
I love that movie.
For some reason,
my parents did not like that movie.
Really?
And, like, we weren't like discouraged from watching it or anything like that, but they did not enjoy it the same way I did. Oh,
I
but that movie is like, I love when he's getting super fat and much like myself. And so funny.
Self-deprecation.
Hey, you made bald joke. I make fat joke. Right, you know, it's fine. Not that we're nearly the size of Santa in any way, but, you know.
Oh, I am in big trouble. Uh-huh.
That's it. When he's like, I love that. But when he's like walking down the street, he's like, naughty, nice.
Veronica, very nice.
In your dreams. But my favorite, like, all I wanted was an Oscar Mayer wiener whistle.
My weenie whistle.
So funny.
Oh, Judge Reinhold.
Oh, yeah. I forgot who that was. That's right.
His name is Judge.
Did you watch the sequels? Like, did you follow that series?
I saw the second a few times, and I saw the third maybe once.
Didn't hold the same weight as the first one at all. The journey of him becoming Santa Claus is great. That kid was awesome, too.
That kid was really good. Charlie. So good.
Yeah, I just – my one of the best moments, even when I was a kid, which I love even more as an adult, is when he takes the kid – when he takes Charlie to the restaurant at the beginning, and he like sees the one other dad in the restaurant with the kid, he's like,
burn turkey.
So funny. Not that I can relate to that, but I'm like, yeah.
We're going to Denny's. It's an American institution.
Oh, it's.
Can I have chocolate milk? We're out. Plain milk is fine. I like how they're in a Denny's and they go past all like the Asian businessmen to like the back corner where all the dads who burn their turkeys.
It's like one of those, like, I don't want to say highbrow, but it's one of those like movies where like there are a lot of jokes for adults that you will never get as a kid. I love that, and I love that like Santa fell off the roof and like, but he left his clothes. He's like, he's naked somewhere.
Yeah, that's that is like Tim Allen at his peak.
Tim Allen at his
Home
finest.
Improvement peak.
Home Improvement, Toy Story finest.
Yeah, yeah, right there.
The Santa Claus.
When Tim Allen was a movie star.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Even the title of the film is clever.
Oh, yeah. The Santa Claus.
Yeah. For years, I thought that Santa Claus was spelled with an E, so even now when I see it without the E, I'm like, that's not right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're spelling it wrong.
No, it took me a few years to get the pun. I was like, oh, that's so brilliant.
Yeah. Let's talk about one of the newer additions to the Christmas movie classic era.
Sure.
Elf.
Oh, yeah. That was I don't usually care for Will Ferrell a whole lot, to be perfectly honest. Mm-hmm. But that is like one of the few movies that I'm just like, I am pumped to see that, even though I'm not a huge, huge fan of Will Ferrell's
I'm the opposite. I really, really like Will Ferrell. I think he's I think he's funny.
I like him on SNL, but his I like him. Aspects. But I don't the character that he always plays in like every movie where he's just like the dumb oaf. I don't really care for.
Seen him play other Buddy. Parts and other things. But there's something about the dumb oaf that is Buddy that's different because it's like an innocent dumb.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
I agree
yes,
with
yes,
that.
Yes.
I absolutely agree with that. We've talked about this before. Movies are weighted by how quotable they are.
And that is so quotable.
All the time.
All year.
I quoted it in our first Christmas episode. What's the best way to spread Christmas cheer? And you knew what I was talking about.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking about one earlier. I thought about an Elf quote like 10 minutes ago. And I didn't want to stop you on your rhythm, and I lost it. But
oh no,
the whole movie is smart, even from the casting of like James Caan and
Zooey Deschanel.
That was potentially her big break.
One of them.
Between that and Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, those were her two. True. Like, I'm making it. I'm getting there. Kind of.
Yeah. She was on Frasier too, and mm-hmm. yeah.
I always forget how. I always forget how long – random tangent. I always forget how long Frasier ran for. I always think of it as this like early 90s thing. But
it ran until 2004.
Yeah, a long time.
But 11 seasons.
I was going to say Bob Newhart as Papa Elf.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, all of it. But I just – Papa Elf from the North Pole. Like, I mean, we could sit here and quote Elf for
a solid half hour.
We could do our whole Elf episode. Yeah. I've not watched
bonus episode about Elf.
No, I'm just kidding. I've not watched the Elf Christmas special yet.
Oh, neither have I.
Which I think was, I'll I'll get there.
On television?
It was on yes. I know. Yep. It wasn't – oh, it's Jim Parsons. It wasn't –
oh, yes.
It was – yeah, it wasn't Will Ferrell. It was Jim Parsons. So when I saw the commercial for it, my instant reaction was like, you're not going to be the same.
Yeah.
But then I remembered my love of Christmas specials, and so I still need to give it a chance. It's sitting there.
Right.
But you know what? It's it – no. Anyway, so all right. We're past the mark. We're talking about it. A Christmas Carol.
Load up. Let's do it.
All right.
So your favorite is possibly Mickey's Christmas Carol.
Yeah, you maybe. Okay.
That was very Jim Carrey with the faces and everything. The audience couldn't hear that.
I know, wow. But you couldn't hear my face, but it was there.
But your face was very palpable. Yeah,
very palpable. I actually really do. I go back and forth between three.
Okay.
The first one that I ever watched was Mickey's Christmas Carol.
Okay.
Which is a great introduction to A Christmas Carol. There are a lot of things in that film that I think of first.
Okay.
Like when I think of A Christmas Carol. I think it kind of loses steam as it goes on. The film takes a long time at the beginning with like, I'm Scrooge or I'm Scrooge McDuck and, you know,
yeah.
I'm grumpy and blah, blah, blah. And so, but it like kind of squeezes the ghosts together.
Yep.
Almost. That's where it loses it just a little bit. After that was the George C. Scott A Christmas Carol.
That was my first.
Which is a Christmas classic in my house. Mm-hmm. My mom watches it like 5 times during the Christmas season.
And that one's just called Scrooge, right?
No. That one's A Christmas Carol.
Oh, is it? Okay.
That one is a definitely Christmas Carol.
Okay.
Chain of thought. It's going to happen.
Mickey, George C. Scott.
George C. Scott. When I think of – I said God Rest You Merry Gentlemen in a previous episode. God Rest You Merry Gentlemen is like that is the song I think of for carolers.
19th century.
It's because of that movie.
Yeah, I get that.
It's George C. Scott. Make myself merry at Christmas. I love that. Well, they better well do it and decrease the surplus population.
Right.
Yeah. I love the message of A Christmas Carol.
Me too.
Even apart from everything else. I remember years ago. My dad came home from this like talk that he had to give, like this big conference thingy, and he used A Christmas Carol in his explanation of the thing. Like, are there not poor houses? Are there not this? And it's like,
are there no prisons?
And he's like, don't my taxes pay for those? Well, you know what? Well, they better well do it and decrease that. They better well die and decrease the surplus population.
Right.
He used that as a thing for healthcare, and it was like. It was like this like glory moment where it's like, that is so awesome. Like that's healthcare and stuff. Anyway, so be healthy.
Sure.
Regardless of all of that. I also really do enjoy the newest Disney's A Christmas Carol.
The Jim Carrey one. The Jim 3D Carrey one.
Yeah. It's so utterly faithful to the original story.
Mm.
Completely. Apart from, like, this could be a ride at Disney.
Yeah, it's the part that really ticks me off.
Yeah, except when you read the original short story or novella, short story, when you, novella. Yeah, novella. When you read the original story, there are moments in which it says, like, Scrooge is now chased by the ghost of Christmas past.
Yes.
The ghost of Christmas future. He does run away from him. There is, like, a chase sequence in the story. That's taken out from our versions because they're made long ago, and it's like no one wants to watch the chase scene,
also,
or they were impossible to do that.
It's also the way it's done is this was a 3D movie.
I agree.
You had to wear 3D glasses to watch it.
Yeah.
And they did that because they wanted to like, oh, look, it's the same, no different than when they're like, we're sticking this thing out into the screen. Whoa. Or like something comes at flying at the screen or whatever.
I agree.
Like the same thing.
But you're also talking a score by Alan Silvestri.
Yes.
You're talking Jim Carrey playing multiple characters.
Yes.
Gary Oldman.
Motion cap.
Colin Firth. Mm-hmm. That's a.
Colin Firth?
Yeah. He plays Fred.
Oh, I don't remember that.
He plays Fred the nephew.
Oh, wow. I saw that in the theater with you.
Daryl Hannah. There's a lot of solid
good cast.
There's a lot of solid cast in there that's really giving it their all.
Yep.
I really do. By the director of Back to the Future.
Nope, let's I know. Go. Zemeckis. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Zemeckis. Thank you. I couldn't remember his name, so I'm glad you picked that up.
Yep. Bob Zemeckis.
I really do enjoy all of that. Did you know, this is a fun fact about A Christmas Carol. I'm going to keep talking about it.
Please.
A Christmas Carol, Charles Dickens is responsible for saving Christmas.
Yes.
Like,
I know where you're going with this. Yes.
He is the reason we have Christmas the way it is today. Christmas was a dying holiday when that story was written. And he wrote that story. It became insanely popular, insanely quickly, and basically turned Christmas around from this thing that was almost going to a non-existent territory and turned it into basically what we have it today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this of the giving season.
Yeah.
That it is solely on – not solely on Charles Dickens, but a lot of it rests
largely.
On – largely rests on his shoulders. Thank you very much, Charles Dickens.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate you and your work.
And you're getting paid by the word.
Yeah. Which is why Christmas Carol is my favorite of his stories, because it is of the cleanest and cut variety.
Concise.
Yeah.
I had the Great Illustrated Classics version of that one, which was
– I did too.
Yeah.
I did too.
Yeah.
There was also a – we had this big illustrated version, gorgeous paintings on the inside that had the scariest – Jacob Marley ever. I still, if I'm ever in a big house and it's old and creaky, I think of Jacob Marley.
Marley was as dead as a doornail.
How is a doornail dead? I'm still.
That's always been a saying. I've heard that
saying. I know. Why? Who said that?
Is it living?
Then arguably,
he's
as dead as a broom handle.
Okay, like, yeah, but dead as a doornail just
is alliteration.
Bringing it back.
Bringing it back to the alliteration.
With the letter D, no less.
Yes.
Three other versions of A Christmas Carol come to my mind.
Talked to three. All right.
Three more. My favorite, the one I think of, is the the first one I ever saw was the George C. Scott one, but the one that I think of as my favorite is the Alistair Sim version from the 50s.
I didn't grow up with that one, but I have seen
You're familiar with it? It's usually on TV somewhere.
I've seen them all.
Okay.
It's like the Three Musketeers. I've seen them all.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Well, there's a bunch, because there's a couple from the 30s. There's one I think that's silent, mm-hmm. and there's a couple from the 30s, and then there's this one from the 50s. It's Alistair Sim, and that is my favorite. I think it's the best.
It's not George C. Scott. That's interesting.
George C. Scott I haven't seen in many years, but it was the first one I saw.
I also forgot about the Patrick Stewart version.
Well, So,
okay, we'll talk about Alistair Sim first.
Well, Alistair Sim, I don't have a whole lot to say, but I do love that version, just because it feels – very true to the book in a lot of ways. They cut a lot out. They have to. They change a couple things here and there. But
Mickey's Christmas Carol is technically also true to the book, but they had to cut a lot out of that too.
Yeah, exactly. But I just love that version. Another version that comes to mind is the Kelsey Grammer version.
I have never seen that the whole way through.
Oh, really? Oh, we should watch that this year.
Okay, I'm down.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Let's take some time and watch that.
I love Kelsey Grammer.
You know the soundtrack though, right?
I've only heard parts of it.
Okay.
And I think that's where I was led astray. When I first saw it, I was like, this is really overly campy.
It is campy.
And I wasn't expecting that, and it turned me off the first time, and I never went back to it. I think knowing that now, I can be into it.
So we should say it's not just like a Kelsey Grammer movie. It was a musical, a stage musical.
Was Kristen Bell in that too? Didn't she play Ghost of Christmas Past?
No. That's Jane Krakowski, isn't it?
I love Jane Krakowski.
Yeah. But it was on the stage for many years.
Okay.
And it's Alan Menken did the music. Of Beauty and the Beast and Aladdin fame.
And many other Disney movies.
And many other things. Newsies.
Hercules.
Little Shop of Horrors.
We could have a whole Alan Menken episode. What a great idea.
Why haven't we done that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. So, so he wrote the music, and it, you know, it's a Broadway musical, although I don't think it was ever on Broadway, but it's of that style. Mm-hmm. It played for many, many years at the theater at Madison Square Garden every winter.
Oh,
would do that. They haven't done it for a few years now, but they made a movie of a TV movie of it with
Kelsey Grammer,
and it's very, very good.
Interesting.
Not very faithful to the book. They change a lot of things for, you know,
it
the
happens.
Movie. But it's fun.
Muppets Christmas Carol it's also real, changed things.
Yes.
But I'm still a fan of that, too.
The other one I want to mention is the version where Michael Caine plays Scrooge, and that is Muppets Christmas Carol.
That's Michael Caine plays Ebenezer Scrooge. Michael Caine.
That's right, Master Bruce.
Like this. That's right, Master Bruce. I'm here counting my coins.
If you say my cocaine really fast, it becomes Michael Caine.
Yeah. Michael Caine. Signed, Matthew McConaughey into space. And he was there. And I also lifted a beam off of Master Bruce.
A cup of coffee.
And then I left him for Italy. And I sat there with my Bernie Branca waiting for Master Bruce to come back. I'm sorry. And then Kermit the Frog. Talk to me. You have to tell your Muppet story in your Michael Caine impression. Go.
Kermit the Frog, as Bob Cratchit, is one of the most brilliant performances. Why are there so many songs about rainbows? And what's on the other side?
Piggy.
I shouldn't, because I shouldn't kiss you. And we're giving the Ebenezer to squish.
Bark, bark, bark.
Oh.
Waka, waka.
Yeah, but those are three versions that I felt couldn't go unmentioned. Patrick Stewart, though.
The Patrick Stewart version was a TNT original movie when they were still doing those.
Yeah.
Talk about your 90s callback.
Oh, yeah.
TNT original movies. His version's good. It's not great.
Here's the thing about Patrick Stewart, though. Mm. Are you familiar with his audio version? His, like, audiobook version of...
I know the Jim Dale of Harry Potter audiobook version fame.
Jim Dale did A Christmas Carol?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I've not heard that one.
I have it. I shall give it to you.
Please do share. Yeah. But Patrick Stewart has done A Christmas Carol as an audio version of A Christmas Carol. It's very hard to find now. I'm not sure if it's, like, on Audible or any places like that, but it is pretty hard to find. But he did it. He worked on it for many years. He did it as a one-man show.
Oh.
And so he does all the voices. He does, like, different voices for every character, much like Jim Dale does for Harry Potter. I'm not sure if he does the same thing for A Christmas Carol. But, yeah, the Patrick Stewart audio version, very, very good.
I will check that out.
Yeah.
I will say the Patrick Stewart version, there's one scene that I really do like in that version. It's at the very end. I always love the end when Scrooge, like, is unsure how to handle Christmas. Like, yes. He's, like, super happy and he's too happy and people yes. don't know what to do with him. There's a scene in that one in which he tries going to a Christmas Day mass and everyone there is, like, singing their song in the little book. And he
hallelujah,
gets there.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Joyfully we lock about.
That's an excellent Eddie Izzard sketch.
Thank you.
Thank you. He just, like, gets in there and he, like, looks around and then just bursts into song. like top of his lungs. And it's so funny because he's just like, God rest ye merry gentlemen. Oh, it's so, so great. I love it. He's awesome. The line must be drawn here. This line. No farther.
No farther.
I will also say, I have to go back to the George C. Scott version for a second. Bob Cratchit was, this is the geek part. Bob Cratchit was played by David Warner. Okay. David Warner of Professor Fame from Ninja Turtles 2 / Ra's al Ghul from Batman the Animated Series / Billy Zane's Bodyguard from Titanic.
Like, nice. Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah. David Warner. Among many, many other things.
Excellent.
I think he was also the photographer from The Omen with George C. Scott.
And
by George C. Scott, I mean Gregory Peck.
Gregory Peck.
Yeah.
Huh.
We should probably wrap it up here. There are a lot of Christmas movies we certainly did not get to. We didn't get to White Christmas.
Yep.
We didn't get to A Christmas Story.
Yep.
We didn't get to Christmas Vacation.
Oh, Christmas Vacation, yeah.
Right. I know. We didn't get to any of them, but you know what? There's always next year.
There is.
So, until then, my friend, I wish you a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year.
Thank you.
And God bless us.
Everyone. Cheers.
This podcast is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. All character names, sound effects, and quotes are registered trademarks and/or copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Thought Bubble Audio Studios, unless otherwise indicated.